Well, what he was going to show you was a plug for next week when we start the Not a Fan series. And I'm going to promise you, if you are not involved in a small group, you're going to want to be, because we're going to be talking about our commitment to Jesus and what that means. And it's going to challenge us in such a powerful way. And we're going to be hearing about it in the messages on Sunday, but we'll also be doing it in our small groups through a movie, very powerful movie about a family that will really touch your heart. So if you're not a part of a small group, please, we do have sign-up sheets back there. Or if you want to talk to one of us, we'll get you plugged in. Talk to one of the elders or myself, and we look forward to that. I just want to take a moment here before we start today to express my gratitude and I'm just amazed at this upward team that we have here and the commitment this church has to helping young people. And I've just been really impressed these last few months in seeing the dedication of so many people that are involved in this. There's too many people to say thanks to, so I think a round of applause is appropriate. We thank you guys for your hard work, and a lot of good seeds I know have been planted. One more thing I want to express our thanks to, and I think we need to owe them a huge debt of gratitude, is Lanny Holt and his family for the hard work they're doing and taking pictures and putting this all together. We really appreciate you guys. Thank you. Texans are proud of their identity. I lived in Abilene, Texas. Anybody here live in Texas before? If you live there, you kind of know what I'm talking about. Texans have a uniqueness to them. They are the largest state, and if you talk to a Texan, everything they have is the best, and it's the largest. Okay? You will say something like, you know, hey, my truck is real big. You know, they'll say, well, my truck is bigger. I got the best truck. Well, to give you a story here, this Texan moved up to Michigan. He was going to work in the automotive plants up there. And it was not even 1 week into this time there. Everyone hated this Texan. I mean, the Michigan folks, they could not stand this guy. They were sick and tired of him, you know, bragging about everything and talking about how big Texas is and how everything is greater in Texas. And one night, these co-workers decided to play a trick on him. So they took him out to eat, and they put some sleeping powder in his drink. Made him really tired. Eventually just passed out. They took his body to a cemetery and put it on a fresh cement slab. They thought, we're going to scare this guy. We're going to get him back for his arrogance. So they hid by a tree and waited till dawn. And all of a sudden, the Texan got up, stretched, looked around. He said, glory be, resurrection morning, and the first one up is a Texan. Texans are proud of their identity. Who are you? I'm not asking your name. I'm asking, who are you? What's your identity? What's it wrapped up in? Is it wrapped up in your job? Is it wrapped up in your kids, your family? One thing I noticed about the Apostle John that I never noticed about before was he always introduced himself as the one whom Jesus loved. He didn't say, I'm the Apostle John. He said, I'm the guy whom Jesus loves. I've always been impressed with that humility. Did you know the moment you were baptized into Christ, for those of you here that have committed your lives to Jesus, you received a new identity, a brand new one, spiritually? Do you know your Christian identity? We've all been physically born, and we received an identity when we were born. Keith, our newest member here, he was just born a month or two ago, and he received a name. He received an identity. But spiritually, we were born again as well, and we received a brand new identity. Do you know what that identity is? You know, we talk a lot about, you know, self-esteem, and, you know, for whatever that's worth, it's worth something, I guess. But I want to talk to you today about God esteem. I want to talk to you about how God sees you, because it will change and transform your life. We're going to talk today about this marvelous truth, and I want to tell you, the devil does not want you to hear this message, okay? Because this message is a different tone. You notice you don't have an outline today, okay? And we'll get to that, and I'll show you in a minute what we're doing, but we're doing something a little different today. We're going to talk about our identity in Christ today. We're going to talk about who we are and how God sees us. But we're also going to look at what happens the moment you are baptized into Christ. I think you're going to be pretty surprised today to hear some of the things that happen. Now, I want you to finish this statement. You shall know the truth. Oh, do you believe it? You shall know the truth and? Let's pray. Father, I pray today that the truth will set us free, and that will break all the chains that we have brought on ourselves and the struggles we have with who we are as people. I pray, Lord, today that you will help us understand these glorious truths. Help us replace our bad thoughts about ourselves with your thoughts, and help us see ourselves as you see us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Advertising has one goal: to make you feel inadequate so that you buy the product. Okay? I got nothing against people that are in this line of work, but that's really what they're trying to do. Young people tend to feel extremely inadequate. Teenagers. Young girls especially see pictures of models in magazines. They see these magazines and they have this picture of this perfect-looking person on there, and they don't feel like they measure up. They don't feel like they're good enough. And it causes young girls and young men especially to feel inferior, to not feel beautiful. And I want to tell you something, young people. Do not listen to the world and what they say about you. You need to see yourselves as God sees you. Let me prove to you how deceiving advertising is. We're going to show you this little clip here, and I think I may have showed it here before, but it's so powerful to show you just how deceiving advertising is. Photoshop could even make me look good. Young people, please stop comparing yourselves to the world. Why do young people do that? Because our culture places a huge emphasis on how we look. They place a huge emphasis on that. The truth of the matter is, God loves us just the way we are. In fact, we need to see ourselves as God sees us, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And God says that about a child in the womb. I want you to say this with me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, come on, you don't believe it, do you? Say it again. Do you believe it? What do you believe about yourself? No? Many of us are critical. You know, I'm stupid, I'm dumb, I'm ugly. You know, how many times a day do you sit there and talk about yourself and put yourself down and say, you know, what a bad person you are, I've got no talent. But who are you really saying when you say these things? Who are you really putting down? You're putting down your Creator. You're saying, Lord, you blew it. God don't make no junk. We are precious, and you're valued by God because He says so. And what God says is what matters, not what people say. It's what God says about us that matters. And I think Paul's right. You know, we gotta be transformed. You know, I love the way J.B. Phillips translated Romans 12, too. He says, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold, but be renewed, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind is a very powerful thing. How you see yourself, they call it self-talk, okay? Counselors call it that. How you see yourself is so crucial. Are we going to believe what the world says? We're going to believe what God says. We've got to reprogram ourselves and see ourselves the way God sees us. Solomon said in Proverbs, as a man thinks in his heart, so this shall he be. In other words, I used to do prison ministry in Texas, and I would stand in a maximum security prison with 120, 130 inmates on a Sunday morning and say, okay, you are not a rehabilitated failure. You're not a recovering alcoholic. You are a child of the King. And we'd sit and talk about this importance of understanding our identity, because inmates especially struggle immensely with this idea of who they are. Because if you see yourself as a failure, guess how you're going to live? You're going to live as a failure. If you see yourself as a no-good bum, guess how you're going to live? You're going to live as a no-good bum. If you see yourself as ugly and no talent, guess how you're going to live? The same way. Some of us have had tragic childhoods, abusive, physically, emotional abuse. And the kids at school, you know, kids are not merciful in school. You remember yourself in high school and junior high school, all the things kids said and how they hurt, the words hurt and they sting. And do you ever wonder why we're having problems in our marriages and we're having problems in our jobs and we're having problems in our families? It's because we still play the tapes from childhood. You keep hearing the same stuff. Boyce, you're a loser. You can't make anything out of your life. You're a waste case. And we believe it instead of believing what God says about us. Do you want to be set free from your past? Do you want to stop the negative self-talk in your heart? The truth will set us free. Because there is power in self-perception. You remember the movie Lion King? You remember what happens in the movie Simba is born to royal, you know, the Lion King guy, you know, the big top doggy. I forget what his name was. Mufasa, thank you. But what happens to Simba? He gets blamed for killing his dad. And he runs away. And he stays away for a long time until the day comes when he starts realizing who he is on the inside. And he sees his father in himself. And he says, I'm a king. And I think that's a powerful metaphor for a lot of Christians. We're in this wilderness, we're in this desert where we just are struggling with who we are. We need to have God esteem. I know what you're saying. You know, this sounds great, Chris. You know, great, great pep talk today. You know, I appreciate the pop psychology stuff. Now, this isn't pop psychology. This is seeing yourself as God sees you. This is truth. And most Christians do not understand these awesome and powerful truths that we have. You know, the question we have is, what is our identity? Who am I now that I'm following Christ? And how do I receive this new identity? Russ, would you come up here for a minute? I promise you I won't embarrass you. You know, at the moment of conversion, you received a brand new identity. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment, we've done this before, but I think this truth is so important to understand that I want us to get it. Okay? Now, imagine I'm Jesus. Okay? I'm Jesus, and Russ is baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:26 and 27 says, we're clothed with Christ when we put on Christ. Now, do you see, now it doesn't fit him, but God sees Russ now as he's in his Son. He sees perfection. He sees holiness. He sees righteousness. Because Jesus was perfect. He was righteous. He was holy. When we are baptized into Christ, we get to receive that perfection, that holiness, and that righteousness. And we stand before God faultless. You see? So now Russ, even though he is still struggling with his sinful nature, but he's continuing to trust Jesus, and he continues to follow Jesus in his life. God sees him as a righteous person because of his faith, because he's been credited with that perfection of Christ. Does that make sense? That is the most important truth from the book of Romans to understand. Romans is the constitution of Christianity. It tells everything what we need to know. And that is one of the glorious truths. Thank you, brother. I love you. You're still righteous in Christ, though, even without this. Now, Paul says in Romans 6, to kind of reiterate this if you can see it, when someone is baptized into Christ, they are saying, I'm ready to die to my old ways and I'm ready to follow Jesus. That's repentance. We are buried with Christ. He washes our sins away. And now we are in Christ. Do you see that? We are clothed with Him, credited with the righteousness of Christ. What do you think Paul meant when he keeps saying through the book of Ephesians and several other letters, in Him we have redemption. In Him we have peace. In Him we were chosen. If we were baptized, we are now in Christ. We stand in Him. I love this quote from Neil Anderson. Powerful, powerful words. Being a Christian is not just a matter of getting something. It's a matter of being someone. A Christian is not simply a person who gets forgiveness, who gets to go to heaven, who gets the Holy Spirit, who gets a new nature. A Christian, in terms of his deepest or her deepest identity, is a saint, a spiritually born child of God, a divine masterpiece, a child of light, a citizen of heaven. Being born again transformed you into someone who didn't exist before. That's a powerful truth. You're a saint. You're a spiritually born masterpiece of God. That's how God sees you. Two books I would strongly encourage you, besides the Bible, to read here, and that is Victory Over the Darkness by Neil Anderson and Search for Significance by Robert McGee. Those books absolutely changed my life and my perspective. Did you know we have 33 reasons to rejoice this morning? And I want you to pull out that little handout I gave you. 33 wonderful things happened when you were baptized into Christ. Now, I'm not talking about those baptized as infants. I'm talking about baptized as a believer. You understand who Jesus is. You understand that you're following Christ. You made a conscious decision to follow the Lord. Now, you can choose to believe the truth. You can choose to believe what's said about you, or you can just continue letting the devil have his way in your life. It's your choice. These statements are true about you whether you believe it or not. And you can choose what you want. Someone might say, well, yeah, you know, I'd be a little bit prideful, don't you think, if I believed all this? No, you would be defeated if you didn't. This is truth. This is power. And when you start hearing lies in your head, you can renounce it. You can choose to believe what the Bible says about you, what God's Word. Spend the next 30 days reading this out loud to yourself every day. And I promise you, God will transform your heart. Look at the scripture references. Memorize them. Put them in your heart. And you're not who you are in Christ because of something you have done. We are who we are because of the cross. All these are true today because of what Jesus did on the cross. It's all about Him. It's not about us. So, if you got your list, I want you to repeat after me, okay? Let's just go through these real quick. I am completely saved because of the finished work of the cross of Jesus. Say it with me. I am a child of the King. I am completely forgiven of my sins. I am at peace with God. God is no longer angry with me. I am credited with the righteousness of Jesus. I am now standing before God's throne without fault and great joy. Jude 24 says, to Him who is able to keep us from falling, to present us before His glorious throne without fault and with great joy. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. They got it. They understood it. Why can't we? They understood it in the first century. Listen to the next one. I am holy. I'm number six. Where am I? Number seven. I am holy in God's sight. Washed clean and innocent. If I continue trusting and following Jesus. That's a powerful text, but you notice it's conditional. I am chosen by God, holy and dearly loved. I am absolutely complete in Christ. Jesus is enough. Amen? All right. I am fully pleasing to God because I am in Christ. You know, that's one truth I think we need to just cement in our hearts. Where God is pleased with us. Not because of we get on the performance treadmill and perform for Him correctly, but because we are His children. God is pleased with us. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Devil, get out of my business. Because my name is in the book of life. And no one can take it out of there but me. If I choose to reject Christ. I have been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. That's what it means to be redeemed, y'all. It's a simple word. It means to be bought with a price. We are in the slavery of sin. Jesus paid our price. He paid our bail. He paid my bail, as they used to say in the prison. I am a new creation of infinite worth. I am accepted by God, not because of my works, but because I trust in His promises and His Son. I am dead to sin, but alive to God. I have been grafted into the olive tree. Israel and the promises of Abraham. I am God's temple and His Spirit lives inside my heart. I am a co-laborer with God in His church and ministry. This ain't your church. This ain't my church. This is God's church. Upward is His ministry. It's not our ministry. We join Him in what He's doing. We don't make up the ministry. We join God in what He's already doing. Amen? It's His ministry, His church. I am Jesus' friend. It's a powerful thought. I am reconciled to God and am now our minister of reconciliation. God has shown us grace. We need to go out and show the world some grace. Amen? It's really simple when it all boils down to it. I am an enemy of the devil. Are you a threat to Satan? When you wake up in the morning, does he go, oh boy, she's up, he's up? We should be. If the devil ain't knocking on your door, maybe, I don't know, what are we doing something wrong? You need to think about that. We become an enemy of his when we begin following Jesus. Number 22, I am born of God and the devil cannot touch me. Satan has no authority over a follower of Jesus. Amen? I am not guilty and no longer condemned before God's throne. I am an adopted son or daughter of the King, and share the same inheritance Jesus does. 1 minute there. Don't jump over adoption in Galatians 4. Not many of you know this, but my name when I was born was Christopher Moreau Allen. My mom divorced twice, and the third man she married when I was 8 years old, his name was William Wheeler Boyce III. And over a period of about 3 or 4 years, he wanted to adopt me as his son. And I remember going to court and sitting in court and meeting my real father for the first time. This guy comes walking up off the street and he says, "Hi, son." And it just totally blew me away. I didn't know who this guy was. He'd been out of my life for so long. And now he and I have a great relationship today. And he was here actually a couple months ago. But I remember that day in court when they said, "Now your name shall be Christopher Stuart Boyce." And I was adopted. I now have all the rights that my brothers do, even though I have been adopted. That makes sense? God, my stepfather changed my identity and made it, I felt more part of the family then. I struggled still with my identity as a young man, but it made me feel more a part of that family. When you are baptized into Christ, God adopts you into His family, and He gives you the same inheritance rights that Jesus has. And, you know, we can't even fathom what that means. When you get to heaven, you'll know what I'm talking about. You'll be like, whoa. You'll appreciate Jesus at that point more than ever. He's adopted us. Number 25, I am God's poem or trophy. His divine masterpiece. It's interesting, the word there. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that He's prepared for us in advance to do. It's interesting, the word for workmanship in Greek is poema, where we get the word poem. God is writing a poem in your life. And it's special and it's unique and you are one of a kind. Ain't nobody else like you in this room. Aren't you glad of that? But you're special. I am a stranger to this world I temporarily live in. I am a citizen of heaven in the kingdom of God. Isn't that great news? There's no elections in heaven. There's already a king there. And nobody can take his place. We don't have to vote him in. And aren't you glad about that? I have been entrusted with spiritual gifts that I am to use for His glory and to spread His fame throughout the world. Isaiah 28:26 verse 8 says, God desires that we spread His fame, His renown, to all the ends of the earth. I am secure in Jesus' hand, and no one can snatch me away from Him. And we talk so much about losing our salvation, I think we need to talk more about our security in Christ. And being confident that we're going to heaven. Being confident that we're following Him and we can trust His promises. Yeah, if someone wants to lose their salvation, they can. We can choose to reject Christ and we can walk away. Yeah, then you're up a creek. Then you're in trouble. But as you follow and as you struggle and as you wrestle and as we continue to trust Christ, we are secure in Jesus' hand. No one can snatch them out of my hand, Jesus said. I'm on my way to the promised land because I now possess eternal life. I am a saint. How many saints do we have in the house today? Come on. How many saints do we have in the house? Every hand should raise. You want to know why? The words saint and holy have the same root word. And to be a saint is one who belongs to God. Do you belong to God? We all belong to God here? I hope so. We're not saints because we've done good things. We're saints because we are in Christ. And it's okay to call you a saint because Paul called the Romans, Christian saints, the Corinthians. The Corinthians were no saints. But he called them that because he understood this truth of who we are in Christ. Number 32, I'm not the great I am, but by the grace of God I am what I am. That's the gospel according to Popeye. I am what I am. Well, you are because of the grace of God. Number 33, and finally, I am not a spectator. Now that I know I am a sanctified, blood-bought saint of the living God. What am I sitting around for? I need to be about my Father's business. Amen. And if you have put your trust in Jesus, if you have been baptized into Christ, all 33 things of those are true, whether you believe it or not. So get over it and believe it and trust it. Now do you see why it's good news? That's good news. Amen? And what kind of idiot would reject all this? Ask anyone who is in hell right now. Because that is why hell is called a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is the place of greatest regret. I could have had heaven, but I have this for eternity. And no wonder there is weeping and there's gnashing of teeth. It's regret. It is regret. If you died today, are you confident you would be in heaven with Him? That's probably the most important truth you can ask today. Are you ready to meet God? Anybody in this room could die today. We could go out there and drive and get in a car accident. Who knows? We have got to stop playing with God, and we've got to stop playing that we have control of our lives, and that we'll go into eternity when we're darn ready. Well, we have no control over that. We do have control as to how we're going to respond now. I just read an interesting story this week, and then we'll close here. Marilyn Monroe was met by Billy Graham one day. Billy Graham had made an appointment to see her. And he said, I feel compelled to come talk to you about your soul. And I feel compelled to talk about Jesus with you. And so she listened to what he had to say. And after he was done, she said, I don't need your Jesus. And 1 week later, she died. Don't mock God. He cannot be mocked. Whatever a person reaps, this shall they sow. If you need to get your life right with God today, there is forgiveness at the cross. There is no sin too strong for the blood of Christ to forgive. And maybe you need to begin your relationship with God today, and we want you to know that it's a very simple thing to understand. You believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you understand? Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I can't save myself. I'm ready to put my trust in Jesus now to save me from my sins. God takes us where we are when we want to repent, which means to change my ways and make a 180 and go God's way now. We confess our faith before people and we are baptized. It is so, so simple to understand. And yet we think we have control and we don't. Maybe today you just need the prayers of this church. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life right now. And it's a wonderful place to be, in a place where you're loved and not judged, and where you can be prayed for and encouraged. Whatever your need is, won't you come as we stand and sing?